Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. We pray that those who listen in, that they will be encouraged and that they will be enlightened in the Holy Scriptures by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God tonight. And we pray as we come from this study that we will be edified as saints in the body of Christ. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters tonight, my brothers and sisters, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. If you are a sinner, just doing better would not save you. You must believe the gospel by which we are saved. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. My brothers and sisters, Paul said in 3:3-4, for I delivered you first all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. And a serious question tonight, my brothers and sisters, those who are listening in, if you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Only Calvary's cross could open up the fountain of God's grace. Because Christ died on the cross, the overflowing grace of God is able to pour out to sinners. If Christ had not died on the cross, then God would not be able to be kind and gracious towards us. Instead, God would need to judge us for our sins and condemn each of us to hell. The good news that Jesus died for us and that God is completely satisfied, that the penalty for sin has been paid in full. Therefore, God is free to pour out his grace and kindness and love towards those who believe on his Son. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters, that we must believe in order to be saved. Now, we've been talking over the last weeks here. Apostle Paul said that Christian ungodliness would increase and that Christians would depart from the faith. No matter how long ago we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, regardless of how often we have read the Bible, we are not immune to heresy or apostasy. That's going away from the truth, God's Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15-18, we'll just read a verse here, a couple. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then Paul says also in this scripture, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then 1 Timothy 4:1-3, we'll just read a couple of verses of this one. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then we've been talking about 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, but we'll read a few verses of here as our references. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial or Satan, or what part has he that believeth with an infidel, unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, my brothers and sisters. Many Christians have arrived at the place of admitting they are seemingly failures at living the Christian life. So they wonder why. If we be honest, we must admit that the church at large today is impotent and is seemingly unable to live the Christian life, thus being unable to affect the world. Christianity has become a laughing stock in the eyes of the world. The world looks at the so-called TV evangelists who extort money to keep the gospel on the air, when in fact we hear very little of anything resembling Paul's genuine gospel of the grace of God from them. We either hear, come and get your blessings, as they quote promises that God made to Israel, or the law that God gave to Israel, or a mixture of both. Sadly, most Christians have never come to know the liberty, peace, and rest that is theirs, since they don't recognize that the Gentiles have a different gospel during this age of the dispensation of grace of God. Ephesians 3:2, if you want to read up on that. Christians who do not have a firm understanding of God's word to them will not have God's power in their lives. I'm going to do a slow walk. That's the truth now. Those Christians who do not have a firm understanding of God's word to them will not have God's power in their life. I'm not talking about Christians that just can quote scriptures or Christians that might know the message, my brothers and sisters. And so they would not have stability in their inner man. Again, if there are no sound Bible verses, there will be no godly living and no righteous living. If they are being educated in the world, college, television, educated by the world, as they call it, superstars, philosophers, ungodliness from those who profess to be Christians, if they are educated by the world, celebrities, athletes, preachers, actors, actresses, internet, workplace, denominational churches, and not educated in the Holy Bible, right and divided, you will not live a victorious Christian life. I know because I experienced it myself in my own Christian life. Perhaps you have had your own experiences with these things. Paul had preached his grace gospel to the Galatians, but religion has subsequently caused them to forget it. So many believers are just as misled today. Galatians 3, 1 through 5, we won't read it all. Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Now, he called those Galatian Christians foolish here in Galatians 3, 1. Those same words are being hurled today from the Apostle Paul to saints in the body of Christ. Who has bewitched you, Christians? Christians, just like the Galatians, are letting people bewitch them. False teachers has cast a spell on them and is doing it in so many saints, doing it to so many saints in the body of Christ today. Caused them not to think clearly when it comes to spiritual matters. Just like the Galatians, many believers have abandoned the clear message of God's grace and its accompanying blessings and have returned to religious bondage, the law, and its associated spiritual ignorance. In other words, haven't been taught in the scriptures. Instead of rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, many today are mixing the dispensation of grace God had separated. Many Christians know the message in the dispensation of grace, but they refuse to follow it. And that's why many are led into and are participating into doctrines of devils. Everything we do should be to the glory of God. He is the one to get all the praise and honor. My brothers and sisters, many Christians are praying for what Paul says they already possess in Christ. Many seek wisdom, yet Paul says Christ has already been made wisdom unto us in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Note the past tense. Christ has been made wisdom unto us. Many seek holiness, yet Paul says, "May the gospel peace sanctify you," in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Thus, God is seen as our sanctifier, who has already made us to stand holy and blameless in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3-4, if you go and read that. Many seek to work for him. Yet Paul says first, "It is God who worketh in you." Philippians 2:13, in you. God is the one who is at work in us. Our one work is to believe, as in trust in him and cling to him. Many seek peace. Yet Paul says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be is with you all." 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Since we have Christ in us, we already have peace resident within us all the time. Many seek victory, yet Paul says we are more than conquerors through him. Romans 8:37. Something keeps the church at large from absorbing the knowledge of rich truths that concern the members of the body of Christ. It should become obvious that the something that keeps us from this truth is a resistance to acknowledging Paul's unique gospel and message for the body of Christ as being separate, distinct, and different from the message that Jesus of Nazareth gave the 12 apostles. God gave the ministry of pastors and teachers to help Christians grow in their knowledge of his word. Ephesians 4:11-14, if you want to read that scripture. Church leaders and Christians are to teach every man in all wisdom, is what Colossians 1:28 tells us. Now, Colossians 2:6-7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. These verses say that our Christian life will function properly only if we are taught. These precious Christian souls who live like the world, they have to be taught what the Bible says about Christian living, my brothers and sisters. Oftentimes, people are not being taught Christian doctrine in churches today. They are being entertained. They are singing and dancing. They are learning denominations, cliches, and creeds. They are reading Christian bestsellers, but they are not hearing, studying, and believing the Holy Bible rightly divided. Unless they know the Bible right divided, the Holy Spirit would not be able to work in them. He needs verses, doctrine to work in Christians. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Why does this verse say that sin shall not have dominion over you? For you are not under the law, but under grace. Because you will never have victory over the dominion of sin until you are properly oriented to the access you have under grace. The two principles of law and grace are opposites. The law principle is what we call the if-then principle. It means if you do this, then I will do that. If this happens, then that will happen. The law says if you perform this, you will get a blessing. If you don't do that, you get a curse. The law is a performance system given to the nation of Israel. On the other hand, grace says, here, and hands you the blessing. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the cross. Grace gives you a blessing freely. Now, if you turn to Galatians 5, well, we will see why this is so important to understand. Galatians 5, Paul writes, Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then, verse 18, Paul goes on to say, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not operating under the law. The old sin nature works on the basis of the law. It is your old sin nature that tries to work on the basis of reactionary legalism. It is your old sin nature that tries to work on the basis of developing a lifestyle that seeks to resist God's effort to show you that you are a sinner and to manifest his love and his grace to you through Christ and Christ alone. The old sin nature works on the basis of performing, working, doing for acceptance. You know that old song? I gotta get 199 and a half won't do. You folks trying to work, they think they can work their way to heaven. My brothers and sisters, if you walk in the flesh, you are going to work under the law principle. If you walk in the Spirit, you walk under the grace principle. Walking and being led by the Spirit does not have anything to do with the Spirit of God taking control of you and leading you by the hand. Being led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit means that you walk in line with what God says he is doing today. Did we get that? Let me say that again. being led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit means that you are walking in line with what God said he is doing today. When you are filled with and walk under the principles of grace, then you are walking in the Spirit. If you walk under the principle of law, then you are walking in the flesh. The law is a performance fear syndrome, which means if you perform, then you get the blessing. If you don't perform, you get a curse. That system uses fear as a motivation, and the result of that is a guilty complex when you fail to perform. So the question is, why are so many Christians not growing spiritually? Why are so many believers carried away about with every wind of doctrine? Why are they continuing to turn away from the truth, God's word, to sin? They are not operating under grace. They are not doing the one thing that will bring about transformation in their lives. Moving from milk to meat in the word. For our learning tonight, I love God's word. We can take our time. Ain't no need of rushing. God is long-suffering. He wants us to be patient. So take our time so we can understand what God's word is saying to us. For our learning tonight, look at Jesus doing his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. Matthew 12, verses 3 and 5. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they were with him? And then verse 5, he says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Then Matthew 19 and 4, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Then Luke 6:3 says the same thing. And Jesus answers them saying, excuse me, have you not read? How many times, my brothers and sisters, did Apostle Paul use know ye not or do you not know? Meaning you should know this. In other words, the reason so many saints are turning away from the word of truth and going back into this present evil world or living like the world or turning from God's word to sin is because, guess what? They're not studying. They're not putting doctrine on the inside. Now, how many times did our apostle say, let's see here, know ye not or do ye not know, meaning you should know this. When Paul had to make these statements, he was showing his frustration at the fact that he had to reiterate basic teachings of which he felt they should have been well aware of. Many Christians know what God requires, but continue to choose to not obey God's word. Romans 6, 3, verses 3 and 16. Paul says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Then he goes in verse 16, know ye not? In other words, you should know this, that to whom you yield yourself, your service to obey, his service you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 7, 1, our apostle Paul says, know ye not, brethren? For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth. And then 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2, 3, and 9a, my brothers and sisters, 15 and 16 and 19. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And then in verse 3 he said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Then verse 9a said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then verse 15 he said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Then verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two says he has shall be one flesh. Then verse 19, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Paul said, you should know these things. Paul said, I got saints in the body of Christ. If he's speaking to us right now, he is. And if he stood in front of us, you ought to know these things. Some of you have been saved in the dispensation of grace for 15, 20 years. Know you not. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the trouble, the word of truth. My brothers and sisters, God expects growth from us. And Apostle Paul is saying we need to get past the basic teachings. Saints still down on the milk of the word. We need to get past just knowing, but need to start doing by putting some practice God's word and allowing to effectively work in us. So many are abusing God's grace. My brothers and sisters, sin does matter. Sometimes people get the idea that the issue of total forgiveness means that sin doesn't matter. But God did not save you just so you could go live any way you want to live. You were living that way before God saved you. He could have left you in that condition of a lost, hell-bound sinner. But God saved you by his grace, not by your works. Now, that doesn't mean that works and your life don't matter. God set you free so you could then serve him. You could not do that before you were saved. Galatians 5:13 said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another. Love is the motivation of grace, not the fear motivation of the performance system of the law. But by love, by grace motivation, serve one another. The only way to serve God effectively today is on the basis of his grace, motivated by your gratitude. Total forgiveness does not mean that your sins do not have an effect. Sin does a lot of things in your life. Sin keeps you from being transformed. It interferes with your ability to function properly as a member of the body of Christ, and it will cause you to be unhappy personally. You will get a lot of guilt and shame, condemnation from sin. My brothers and sisters, you will lose your joy. It damages the lives of other people, especially those that are closest to you. It messes your testimony up, and your effectiveness as an ambassador for Christ is weakened. Other people will look at you and think and say, if that's a Christian, count me out. That is why personal holiness is so important rather than self-indulgence. Sin will cause you to lose heavenly rewards that you could have received at the judgment seat of Christ. The ultimate natural consequence of sin in our lives is physical death. You can hasten your physical death by constant dwelling in sin and living in sin, because it tears down and the natural consequences of sin come into play. So sin does have an effect. However, when we sin as believers living under grace, the Holy Spirit seeks to bring us not under a system of condemnation, but to bring us under a system of discipline. God, the Holy Spirit, uses his word to bring us to discipline regarding what we are doing so that we would think soberly about what we are doing. God, knowing that if we ever think soberly about who we are in Christ, we will once again be motivated to act like it. He knows that if we can be brought back to sound reasoning and thinking, sound doctrine, recovering ourselves from the snare of the devil, we will realize who we really are in Christ. We aren't that old dead sinner in Adam, but a live saint in Christ. Those assets can motivate us to serve him, and we keep grace doctrine in memory by reading and studying God's word to us, while avoiding those who teach things that are contrary to grace doctrine and principles. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 through 16, which we didn't read. But Paul tells us to shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more godliness. Then he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13, 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13, Apostle Paul said that you walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we receive the word of God, we heard of us, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We can't walk words of God when we turn away from the word of truth to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him as his will. Paul wrote to Timothy how to restore saved ones who are opposing themselves, living contrary to who God has made them to be in Christ. And the way to recover such a person is to instruct them in meekness, the sound doctrine that we learned from the Apostle Paul. Sound doctrine that God will use to grant them repentance. In other words, a changing of the mind to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Many don't realize that they done been caught up in Satan's trap. You know how you try to catch a rabbit or whatever, and you have a trap set out there? They don't even realize that they done got snared, caught up by Satan. They've been deceived and he done caught them. Yes. My brothers and sisters, Satan has a will for your life to hold you captive so your life would not reflect the godliness that you have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:30-34 reminds us that if we associate with false teachers or fleshly, worldly individuals, we too will repeat their error. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. This negative influence, pagan philosophy, was one reason why the Corinthian saints were so deceived and immature in their spiritual understanding. Instead of looking at the world through God's eyes, they used man's eyes. We can reflect on Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, testify the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. But look what Paul says in verse 20. Of Ephesians 4, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Paul's very purpose in writing to the Ephesians saying was to exhort them not to duplicate the empty thought process that their pagan neighbors entertain. We members of the church, the body of Christ, face the same evil world system that deceived and ultimately misled the nation of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10:1-4 is a terrible reality. It was most unfortunate the Christians at Corinth were guilty of repeating Israel's error of pagan idolatry. That 1 Corinthians 10:1-14. Go ahead and read it, my brothers and sisters. Paul, when he gave those verses, and he said in verse 12, I want to read that, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Look at that. Paul says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. The operative statement is verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Never, let us never boast. Yes, Israel forgot all the doctrine God had taught her, and the provisions he gave her, many Christians through the centuries have snubbed their noses at other sin when they themselves were guilty of continuous sins in their life. How often church members have bragged, I love God so much and I'm so dedicated to his work. This is most foolish as they have been lulled into a false sense of security. It is these people, those focused on self, they focus on themselves, their feeble love for God instead of his infinite love for them, who would be the first, these type of people would be the first to wind up turning away from him in the future. Mark these words well, and never forget the Apostle Peter repeated promise that he broke thrice. Remember, Peter denied Christ thrice, three times. My brothers and sisters, if you don't think you can fall, listen to Paul. He told him that this that thou knowest that all that which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. 2 Timothy 1:15. My brothers and sisters, don't get too prideful. We're going to continue on next week with our lesson. Don't get too prideful. Don't think that you can fall. But many don't even realize they have already fallen. Satan done pulled the wool over their eyes. They've been hoodwinked. They done got caught up in the snare of the devil. And we're going to continue on next week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, we pray that they were edified and that they were enlightened in the Holy Scriptures, my brothers and sisters, and that they were encouraged from what we studied tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.